Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
Hello everyone, we're going to talk today about mental health. Over the past few years, there's been great advancements in the knowledge and understanding of mental health. And we've learned what it is, what can cause it, and what are the potential solutions and cures for poor mental health. There are many types of mental illness that can influence our lives for the worse. And this can happen suddenly and can be very powerful and hard to overcome. But that isn't to say it's impossible. With increasing awareness and knowledge becoming more widespread about the effects and the causes, we as a society have become more aware of it and as a result are able to spot it and diagnose mental health far more efficiently before it's too late to intervene and help. Well, they're an unfortunate aspect of our lives and we have to deal with them. And whilst it's not a new development of our brain in the recent years, the fact that we're beginning to understand it better is why we are seeing many more people being diagnosed with mental health issues, and why it's important for the rest of us to look out for each other, to help. Should we be unfortunate enough to be developing mental health problems ourselves? With more and more emphasis being placed on recognising the various effects, we've begun to see more and more recurring signs that could tell us whether someone is suffering from a mental illness problem. Now, these signs include, but they're no way limited to, sadness. Obviously, we all feel sad, remorse and regret, sometimes in our lifetime. It's one of the key feelings that comes with life alongside the happiness and fear and anger and disgust. But with mental illness, it isn't just about feeling down in the dumps. It's feeling sad for days, weeks, months, and potentially for years. Now, this sadness can manifest, can show itself in many ways. It can make us think we're not worthy of good things, and it can root itself in low self-esteem. It can act as a negative character trait that tricks us into thinking we won't do any good, be of any value. And in worst cases, it can even lead to suicidal thoughts. Now, this is without doubt a sign of serious mental illness taking hold. Being overcome with sadness usually takes place when something undeniably bad has happened, like the loss of a loved one. But with an underlying mental illness, sadness and the aftermath of that incredibly strong feeling can start from nothing. Not only that, but sadness can be quite difficult to notice in people. And unfortunately, we're not yet at the stage in society where people feel completely comfortable talking about their mental health issues without being seen as a burden on others. People with mental health issues might try and hide their actual emotions and instead opt for a false front, a facade, a happy face that will make them appear better than they actually are. A lack of concentration in people's everyday lives could be a sign of mental health issues. This lack of focus and concentration could be at work or school or just a lack of making an effort for anything that they might do, even though in the past they've willingly tried harder and were able to apply more effort. Now, this is more noticeable than the emotion of sadness because it's an external symptom, something we can actually notice. A lack of concentration could lead to somebody failing a test, for example, which in turn can lead to sadness and increasingly negative thoughts, which over time can become a habit, and that's one you really don't want. So make sure that you do something, talk to someone as quickly as possible to prevent it from getting worse. Fear. Just like sadness, fear is a feeling that everyone will experience many times over. And that's perfectly natural. It's a part of life. It's a normal emotion. But People who suffer from mental health illnesses will often exaggerate their fear to the point of breakdown. Fear is the notion that danger, pain, and harm might come to you and that you're unable to prevent these things from happening. Now, whilst this can sometimes be the case, often, just taking a breath and thinking rationally about the situation can usually help in finding a solution to that particular fear. When fear grows, it can take hold of a person's mindset and outlook. When this happens, it only continues to grow, making it progressively worse as time goes on. And then there's a social reluctance. There are many different ways that people interact with one another, and many different personality types that reflect this. You can get people who are purely antisocial, just as much as you can get people who are very social. You can get extroverts and introverts, and people who never lack confidence, and people who need to give themselves a pep talk to brace themselves just to go into a shop and talk to a cashier, for example. There's no shame in whatever you may be and how you might interact with other people, but it can become an issue if that suddenly changes. More often than not, people will often reduce the amount of time they spend socializing if they're suffering from some mental health issue. But people may try to hide it and make up for their illness by going out more. Put simply, if you notice someone who is the life and soul of the party, and someone who is extremely introverted and shy suddenly changes their entire social life in a few days or weeks, or however long it might take, then this could be a sign that this individual is suffering from mental health problems. And then we have mood swings, and we actually have a podcast on this. Mood swings have often been a common telltale sign of something being wrong. And it's very unusual for someone to be happy one minute and sad the next, without any real change in atmosphere or environment or situation. And mental health illness is no different. Mood swings can result in a variety of different outcomes, from feeling overbearing sadness to overwhelming anger without any real catalyst, trigger, reason. It can cause people to lack motivation and feel vulnerable to feeling on top of the world and being unbeatable. We have this whole podcast for you on just this topic. And then there's addiction. People who suddenly gain an addiction or seem to be taking more of something might be the beginnings of a mental health problem. The addiction is most likely going to be something that's bad for them and will seem to them to help nullify and alleviate the pain, sorrow, stress, or sadness, however any addiction might be a sign. Changes in diet. A common sign of mental health problems is a substantial change in someone's diet. A few days of an obvious shift in what they might eat might not be anything, but a serious, longer-lasting change could be the potential sign for somebody who could be struggling internally, struggling mentally. Now, this could be to do with self-esteem issues and that they might think they're eating too much, or it could be because they're overeating to compensate for something. Eating can be one of the different addictions as mentioned a moment ago. A balanced diet can greatly affect how you prepare and manage a day, and poor mental health can affect this. It's a cruel cycle where one makes the other one worse and will continue to do so until something breaks. So if you're worried about someone's mental health, if you believe there to be more than they're actually making it out to be, don't ignore it. That's the worst thing you can do. Instead, try and make them feel comfortable in telling you what is the problem. It might not seem like much to people who are feeling fine and don't suffer from these kind of internal issues, but just talking to somebody can do wonders for someone who is suffering from mental health problems. And whilst it might be only a small step, The famous saying applies, a problem shared is a problem halved. So what are the common mental illnesses and how are they cured, for want of a better word? Mental health illnesses can unfortunately strike anyone at any time for really no particular reason. And one of the scariest things about mental health is that it doesn't just stick to one aspect of your life. There are many different mental illnesses, and each one can have a serious influence of different areas and the quality of your life. Now, some of the main mental illnesses that plague society include anxiety and depression, eating disorders, PTSD and stress. Each of these, as you might be aware, affect different parts of you. Anxiety is believed to be the most common mental illness, with around 280 million people worldwide having been diagnosed with it. People may view this in a different way as the grand scheme of things. I mean, 280 million out of 7 billion is about 4% of the entire population. But given that this mental illness has to be diagnosed and can be potentially undetectable, this percentage could be much higher. Especially if you consider there are many countries in the world that don't have such an advanced diagnostic systems availability that we have in our country. And of course, there are many countries in the world where there are much more stresses in their lives than we experience. Because really, we take so much for granted that we have a roof over our head and food on the plate and clean water that comes out of a tap. Anxiety itself is a mental illness, which also encompasses a wider range of smaller, possibly less common social mental issues like phobias, claustrophobia, for example, OCD, which stands for obsessive compulsive disorder. Like every other mental illness, these can possibly lead to a poorer quality of life. Now, although some mental illnesses like depression and eating disorders might not be affected by individuals and their environment and could disrupt the lives of anyone, some mental illnesses might be a little more easier to predict. Things like PTSD, which stands for post-traumatic stress disorder, will affect people who've suffered from a traumatic event like a serious assault, being attacked, returning from a war zone, as many of our immigrants and refugees have. Now, of course, this won't happen to everyone who's experienced one of these events, but the likelihood of developing PTSD is far more likely to happen to someone who's experienced something awful like war, dangerous, scary circumstances, whether it's physical, emotional, or any other form, serious car accidents, for example, or maybe sometime like a natural disaster, like an earthquake. There isn't a set limit or list for what people will develop. Mental illnesses like PTSD, which can make it kind of erratic, difficult to recognise and diagnose. And in a similar vein, this goes for curing mental illnesses as well. Mental illnesses aren't like breaking a bone. You can't just wrap a bandage around it and leave it for a certain time and it will have time to heal, a few weeks maybe. It's a mental disorder. Therefore, there's really no cure for it as such. All of us will think differently and act differently and process differently from one another. And because of this, there's no real set way in which mental illnesses can be cured. That's not to say that there is no hope should you become unfortunate enough to have to deal with one of these. But just because one person recovers and easily overcomes it, it doesn't mean the next person will manage to escape the grip of mental illness so readily. Thankfully, though, there are ways in which mental illnesses can be improved and limited. It all starts with the people around you. Try to surround yourself with people who have your best interest at heart, friends, family, colleagues, or whoever you think will help. Surrounding yourself with negative people could potentially make things worse, especially as these people might not understand what the problem is. And besides these people, you should include health and medical professionals so that you can get the best advice and support possible. And advances in both physical and mental health treatments are being made all of the time. So now is the time to seek help, not sometime later, if and when the issue becomes too serious. Now, besides this, medication might be a solution, like antidepressants and mood stabilizers. And other things like psychotherapy could be a potential avenue that you might take. And this involves openly talking about your situation and the way you're feeling to a professional who may be able to offer you expert advice that could change your whole outlook. However, the best solution could be talking to a good friend, family member, a medical practitioner, your local friendly GP doctor at the surgery, as well as with wellness and relaxation techniques. Now, this might take time, and it might not always seem to be working. But improving yourself day by day can help. Even if it's just the smallest thing, it's better than nothing. Mental health is a serious issue that we're having to deal with as a society. And it can be scaring and it can be overwhelming. But know that there are always people that you can talk to, always people that can help you out. Know that you're not alone and you can get through it together. Okay. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.